Hello, friends. Welcome to the Seed Pod for Kids. Thank you for joining me today as we spend time with our friend Jesus. Spending time with Jesus is the best way to start your day. Let's begin our time together by praising Him. This hymn that we're going to be learning next is called Open My Eyes That I May See. There was a woman named Clara H. Scott, and she wrote this song. She went to the very first musical institute in Chicago in 1856. And then she taught music for a time. She wrote some songs and flourished in creative writing. Very sadly, she died when she was thrown from a buggy in an accident. Isn't that sad? But what a beautiful hymn we get to learn about asking Jesus to open our eyes so that we can see and understand. You know, that's what we want to do before we open the Bible and before we read, because it's only Jesus and His Spirit that gives us understanding and that helps us to learn. That's why it's so important that we ask Him. So as we sing this, imagine it's a prayer to Jesus that we're asking Him to open our eyes to understand and to see what He wants us to learn.
Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth.
Let's open with prayer, asking Jesus to be with us. Dear Lord, we need Your Spirit today as we open the Bible and as we learn more about You. Come into our hearts. Amen. Hello, boys and girls. We are starting a new week, and this week we are going to be studying the story about Lazarus. Do you remember a few weeks ago, we talked about Mary and Martha, the two sisters? And remember how Mary had chosen to sit at Jesus' feet? But what did Martha do? She was hurrying around trying to prepare the house for all the company, and she got really upset at Mary. Well, in that story, we didn't really hear about their brother Lazarus, but today we are going to start studying that story about the greatest miracle that Jesus did. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were some of Jesus' special friends. They lived in Bethany, about 2 miles from Jerusalem, and from the very first time they met Jesus, they had truly believed that He was the promised Messiah. No wonder He loved to visit their quiet, peaceful home. They understood who He was. He didn't have to tell special stories to help them believe who He was. They already knew. That's where we are going to pick up this story. Lazarus had become very, very sick. And even though Mary and Martha did all they could to care for him, they could tell that he was getting worse and worse. Have you ever seen somebody close to you get very sick? Oftentimes, we might get sick, but then after a few days, we get better. That's not what happened to Lazarus. He kept getting sicker and sicker. They did the one thing that they knew they could. They called on Jesus. But Jesus wasn't near them. They couldn't just talk to him. He was a long ways away. So they sent a messenger. And we can see what they said in John chapter 11, verse 1 and 3. John chapter 11, verse 1 and 3. This story is recorded in the book of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John is the fourth book in the New Testament. So I want you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 11. Your Bibles may not have a big chapter number like mine does. Your Bible might just say chapter 11 at the top of where chapter 11 is. Look for what your Bible says chapter 11 is. It might be a big number, or it might be something that says chapter 11, or it might be a bold number, or I don't know what your Bible is, but my Bible has a big number. So we're going to go to John chapter 11. We're going to read the first verse. So let's read verse 1 and let's read verse 3. So we're going to skip 2. What does it say?
Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick.
The sisters sent this message. He whom you love is sick. They didn't have to add lots of why, or he did this, or this is what's happening right now. They sent a simple message. It's kind of like a simple prayer, isn't it? The person who you love is sick. Well, it probably took about a day for the messenger to reach Jesus, and the sisters were sure that once he received that message, he would come right back with the messenger. And they knew that only Jesus could heal them. But what did Jesus say when he got the message? Let's look at verse 4. We read verse 3. Right after verse 3 is verse 4. It's those little numbers. Verse 4. What did Jesus say?
When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it.
The disciples knew that Jesus loved his three friends in Bethany, and so they were a little surprised that he didn't seem worried about how sick Lazarus was. Would you be worried if your friend was sick, or maybe one of your relatives? Last year, my dad got an infection. He got some kind of scratch on his skin, and it turned into sepsis. Sepsis is where the germs just take over your body and go crazy, and your body has a really hard time fighting those germs. And it was very scary. In fact, he had to go to the hospital. He was in the hospital for several days. They kept trying to give him the right medicine, and I was very, very concerned about him. So I can kind of get an idea for how Mary and Martha might have felt. The messenger went back to Bethany alone because Jesus and his disciples stayed 2 more days. Let's read verse 5 and 6 together. What does that say?
Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was.
This gives us a little clue, doesn't it? It gives us the clue that Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. They had a special place in his heart. So if Lazarus was miserable, then why didn't Jesus come? It makes you wonder, doesn't it? How do you suppose Mary and Martha felt when that messenger came back without Jesus? Do you think they wondered if Jesus really cared? But what does the Bible say? Jesus does care, doesn't he? He loved them. But even though Lazarus was sick, he stayed 2 more days, and he didn't come to them right away. There are many people that have lots of questions about death. They may have lost a loved one, and they wonder what happened to this loved one. Are they just in the ground, or are they up in heaven? Or maybe they're burning forever in hell. Some people and some churches teach that, but that's not what the Bible teaches. In fact, the Bible says that man does not have a soul. Man is a soul. What does that mean? Let's look up Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Genesis is the first book in the Old Testament. So if you were to close your Bible and open up to the very first part of the Bible, you would pretty much be in Genesis. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. This is the creation story when God created the world, and we're looking at how God created man. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Here's what it says. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. So how did God create a man? It's kind of like when you're cooking with your mom or your grandma, and you put a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and pretty soon out might come a cake. Well, that's kind of what God did when he created man. He formed man of what? Of the dust of the ground. So he took some dust or some mud or some clay, something from the ground, and he formed him. So he made a form. But was man a man? No, he wasn't. He needed the breath of life that God gave him. And that's what the Bible says. God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. So God went and breathed into this form on the ground, and all of a sudden, man became a living being. In other words, breath plus dust equals a soul. That's how we get a living soul. You could also think of it this way. Do you like grilled cheese sandwiches? Now, some people are allergic to dairy, so they don't eat cheese. But you can still make a grilled cheese sandwich with vegan cheese, right? Well, if you were to take a grilled cheese sandwich, you would need what? You need some bread, and you need cheese. And when you put those together, you have a grilled cheese sandwich. Well, if you take away the cheese, what will you have left? You'll just have bread, right? If you take away the bread, what do you have left? Cheese. It's not a sandwich, is it? Well, that's the same thing with humans. The dust of the ground plus breath, when God created man, plus God's breath, makes a human soul. Now, what happens when we die? How does that work? Well, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7 tells us. Ecclesiastes was written by Solomon, and it's in the middle of the Bible. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. So it's right after Proverbs. If you find Psalms, then Proverbs comes next, and then you have Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7. If you need a little more time, just pause this recording, find it, and then press play again. Here's what Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7 says. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Is the dust all by itself a human being? No. Is the spirit a human being all by itself? No. It's together. That's what makes a human. Just like bread all by itself is not a grilled cheese sandwich. Cheese all by itself is not a grilled cheese sandwich. You put them together, and that's how you get a living being. Now, let's take it apart. If you take away the cheese, do you still have a sandwich? No. If you take away the bread, do you still have a sandwich? No. All of a sudden, you just have cheese or you just have bread. If we take away the dust of the earth or our bodies, we do not have a soul that's floating around up in heaven. If we take away the breath of God, all we have is an empty body. And our bodies, when we die, return to dust. So that's what Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7 says. When we die, the dust or our body returns to the earth as it was. Our body turns back into dust, given enough time. And the spirit returns to God who gave it. It's not just an empty spirit, but it's like the breath of God, the spark of life. It goes away. It doesn't exist anymore. I'm so glad that the Bible helps us. It can help us to not be afraid and to not be scared. When people die who we're close to, we love them and we're sad and we miss them. But we don't have to be afraid that they're floating around somewhere or that they're burning somewhere just because they don't love God. That's not what the Bible teaches. And we're going to find out more as this week goes on what God really says about death as we study the story of Lazarus. Let's pray before we go. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word that gives us hope and helps us to know what happens when we die. We don't have to be afraid. Thank you for the story of Lazarus that shows us how much you care for us and how even when bad things happen, you still have a plan and you can bring about good. We love you, Jesus. Amen. We're going to learn our new memory verse song. All who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. When do you think that's talking about? Do you think it's talking about when Jesus comes and those who love him and are dead in the graves, they're going to rise up and be with him forever? I think you're right. So let's learn this song together.
All who are in the graves will hear his voice, will hear his voice. All who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. All who are in the graves will hear his voice, will hear his voice. All who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth.
The Bible story material used in today's devotional podcast has been used with permission from My Bible First. If you would like your own copy, please visit My Bible First at www.mybiblefirst.org or call 877-242-5317. For more information about this program and others like it, check out the description below.